following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. As a current student athlete, I find myself wondering how someone like me can all of a sudden get paid for playing a college sport. If you have similar questions, I will be breaking down the ins and outs of the new college name, image, and likeness rules to keep you up to speed on everything happening in this new world of college sports. Welcome in, everyone. This is DJ Parsh, and you are listening to episode 3 of Transfer Season. All right, so this episode is going to be a little bit of repetition from episode 1, where I talked about what NIL is and just how athletes can use it. And I gave you a little bit of history of the NIL and where it stands with the NCAA. So this episode is going to be a little similar, except I'm going to be going more into detail regarding state guidelines and state policies when it comes to NIL laws, as well as NCAA policies and how those kind of differentiate and how certain athletes in specific states deal with the different sets of laws. So to start off, just to brush you up a little bit on what the NCAA interim policy is. The NCAA, in July of 2021, July 1st, they implemented an interim NIL policy. And this interim policy stated that individuals can now engage in NIL activities that are consistent with the law of the state that the school is located. Colleges and universities may be a resource for law questions, and college athletes who attend a school without a state NIL law can still engage in this type of activity without violating any NCAA rules related to name, image, and likeness. And this is all according to the NCAA website. This interim policy also states that individuals can use a professional service provider for all NIL activities, meaning that athletes can use lawyers, advertising, marketing professionals, architects, really whatever, you name it. They can use these professionals to assist them in their NIL activities. However, these student athletes need to remember that they need to, or at least they should, try to report all of these NIL activities that they have that are consistent with their state or school or conference laws. They should try to report all of their activities back to their school, which is one of the things that the NCAA has made it clear that they want student athletes to do. The NCAA website also had a quote from the NCAA president, Mark Emmert, in which he said, quote, "This is an important day for college athletes since they all are now able to take advantage of name, image, and likeness opportunities." He later states, "With the variety of state laws adopted across the country, we will continue to work with Congress to develop a solution that will provide clarity on a national level. The current environment, both legal and legislative, prevents us from providing a more permanent solution and the level of detail student athletes deserve." So basically what he's saying is that because there are so many moving parts to this, and because it's so new and each state has kind of adopted their own laws and guidelines, the NCAA can't or won't really put their own guidelines in place until they have come up with a solution or a set of guidelines that makes sense for all athletes of all divisions in every state. But like I said, right now, each state has their own set of laws, which does make it confusing, but I'm going to do my best to explain it as well as I can. So according to Saul Ewing, Arnstein, and Lehrer attorneys, who regularly advise colleges and universities on a legal and compliance issues, according to them, 28 states, including California, Connecticut, and Ohio, you know, states with bigger cities and bigger populations, they have passed some form of an NIL bill, most within, you know, the past year or two. Some common rules in the states with active NIL legislations include restrictions on length of contracts. So they don't want these endorsement deals lasting after students have graduated and are no longer even at the school, because then they're no longer college athletes. And schools don't want these endorsements being connected to the athletes' performances. So in professional sports, a lot of contracts are written with added in bonuses based on how well they perform during that season or for a specific amount of games. So an example of this is after making the Pro Bowl this past year in 2021, the Indianapolis Colts cornerback Kenny Moore earned an extra $250,000 bonus to his base salary, according to ESPN.com. So because he made the quote all-star game, all-star selection for the NFL, he was given this bonus. And that's what state and NCAA laws don't want players getting, is they don't want businesses making it so that if an athlete plays well for a season, they can get more money based off how well or not well they play, you know, because that's getting into a more of a professional player, professional contract, which is not what this is supposed to be. So each state differs, but those are just a couple of common rules throughout the states that have laws that athletes must follow in order to participate in NIL activities where there are state legislations currently in place. But like I said, not every state has laws currently in place. So according to Arnstein and Lehrer attorneys, 23 states, including New York and Massachusetts and Washington State, have yet to pass NIL laws. This doesn't mean that athletes can't participate. This just means that they don't have their own set of specific laws on top of the NCAA interim policy. So athletes in these states can still participate in NIL activities. They just don't have as many, if any, restrictions when it comes to endorsement deals. So what does all this mean? Athletes who are enrolled at schools in states without NIL laws are actually at an advantage versus states who do have NIL laws. So a lot of the states like California and Florida, who tried to get ahead of the game in 2019 and 2020 when they made their own college NIL rules before the NCAA policy, states like those are now trying to change or completely get rid of the restrictions that they have already put in place, because the athletes who go to schools in those states are at a disadvantage now that they have to go through so many different more loopholes and rules compared to states that don't have as many, if any, NIL rules on top of the NCAA policy. And this is according to Mitt Winter, a collegiate sports attorney at Kenny Hertz Perry, a law firm in Kansas City. He said, quote, "In my mind, there's really not any benefits to having a state NIL law right now." So that just shows you how there's so many different moving parts to this right now, because it's so new and each state is trying to get ahead of the curve. And states like California and Florida were trying to get ahead of the curve a couple years ago, and now they're kind of regretting that decision and trying to change all of their laws that are already in place. So it just shows, basically, the NCAA was like, all right, you guys wanted the athletes to get paid. Here you go. We're not going to put really any rules into place except a few general ones. So now states are scrambling and trying to retract bills and laws that they already have in place in order to benefit their players and their schools in those states. So this is what I mean when I say the NCAA really needs to step in and either update their interim policy, which is what they said that they're trying to do, but it needs to happen quicker, because it's just so chaotic and so confusing right now with all the different state laws, or they just need to create a whole new set of rules that can benefit student athletes, but in a more professional manner, because right now there's just no structure, no guidelines for anyone to follow, and each state is making its own set of rules, which can help, I guess, but it really needs to be from the NCAA, so there's a clear message on what athletes can and can't do. So because there are no strict set of rules from the NCAA at this moment, the NIL is completely unorganized, and each state is just making their own legislations and laws, like I said earlier. This is actually turning out to be hurting certain schools, like I said, because they have more laws on top of the NCAA policy. And student athletes who go to school in these states with laws have to jump through more loops and hoops, and you know, it's harder on them because they have more rules to follow. And like I was saying in my last episode where I gave my full opinion on the NIL, this can be used as a recruiting incentive for states who don't have any laws in place right now, because they can say to high school athletes, hey, we don't have any NIL laws in place right now. You can basically earn as much as you want from almost whoever you want. And that's just not fair to schools in other states who do have other more strict rules and guidelines regarding NIL activities. So according to the Washington Post, the National College Players Association, or the NCPA, released an official NIL ratings back in 2021. And this list gives each state a grade on a scale of 0 to 100, each state that has a NIL policy in place already right now. So of the 28 states that do have some sort of NIL law or regulation, New Mexico earned the highest grade at 90%, and tied for the lowest at 43% were Alabama, Illinois, and Mississippi. And basically, the NCPA hopes that this rating system will encourage other state legislators to make their own NIL laws or fix the ones that they have, because they want to benefit the players, obviously, it being a players association. And they're hoping this rating system can encourage states who have NIL laws in place right now to maybe look over their laws to benefit players, and states that don't have NIL laws maybe to make just basic guidelines so it also can benefit players and schools at the same time. So I think it's pretty easy for really anyone to see how unfair the current system is regarding NIL activities, because you can see certain states are at much more of an advantage compared to other states, and certain athletes are at much more of an advantage just because of the state location and their school location, where their school resides, compared to athletes who go to other schools in different states. And what the NCPA is trying to push right now is just for each state or the NCAA to make their own general basic rules and guidelines so that each player has a fair access to what they can make regarding how much like money they can make or where they can get it. Because right now it's just really unfair to certain athletes who reside in states like California and Florida, who had no impact on their state's mandates or laws that they passed 2 or 3 years ago. So I know that was a lot of information to take in. And just to kind of summarize, right now, like I said, there's a ton of moving parts to this. Nothing's set in stone. Things are going to continue to change and evolve as we go down this path. But right now, what's important to remember is that there is the NCAA interim policy. It just says that athletes can earn money based off their name, image, and likeness. However, then there are the other state guidelines, which 28 states currently have in place right now. And then there are 23 other states who have no guidelines. So those athletes who go to schools in those states have little to no rules regarding money in NIL activities. So obviously things are speeding up in NIL and the collegiate world, and it can be confusing, but I hope today you learned something about NIL activities and what college athletes can and can't do. And next week, I will be talking about what specific schools are benefiting or not from the NIL rule changes, and how this is going to change the college sports landscape as we know it for the future.